You are listening to the Live Free Experience. I'm your host, Brianna Bowley, trauma coach for high performers. I believe that understanding the nervous system and all its wisdom is the key to creating and experiencing all that we desire. And I believe that honest, anything goes conversation paves the way for us to begin a healing journey that has us continuously stepping into more of who we are. I've been blessed to work with, for, and alongside some of the best of the best in their chosen fields. And it's my pleasure to be the platform to share the wisdom and insights I've gained with each of you. Together, we'll explore trauma-informed performance and optimization, business, and self-expression. So in a world where everything touches everything, I encourage you to listen selfishly and with your own circumstance in mind. As I promise, if you found yourself here, there's a piece of wisdom wanting to land in your world. All right. So I'm really excited for this episode because I'm joined by not only an incredible woman, but also a friend and one of my training partners at Jiu-Jitsu. So I want to welcome Lauren Blundell. Welcome.
Thanks,
beautiful.
Babe. Thank you.
Yeah, pleasure. So I'm really excited for this conversation because I feel like, and you and I have spoken about this previously, I feel like you, much like myself, kind of bridge two worlds together. You know, you're someone who you're out there getting amongst the jiu-jitsu scene, the combat sports scene, which is, you know, obviously generally a more masculine dominated sport. Mm. And then you're doing all of this beautiful work with the feminine. So this feels really juicy for me. So shall we start off? Do you want to tell a little bit about yourself and who you are and what you do in the world?
Oh my God. So on the 28th of July, I was born. Yeah, that's such a big question. My name is Lauren. I have a business that's called Triple Goddess that is a feminine-led business, and it is focused around the three archetypes or the three main transition points or rites of passage within a woman's life. So her maiden, her mother, and then her crone. So the maiden is when a woman first bleeds and begins to menstruate. And that is a rite of passage from a spiritual perspective. And I've been teaching women and guiding women around how to connect with their body and their blood and see their period in a completely different light. I was really, really blessed when I can't even remember when I got my period, like maybe 12 or 13. I'd done a lot of research and I didn't have the language or the words around what was happening within me, but I knew something big was about to happen for me. And I knew I was, and I didn't have this language, right? Like I knew I was going to become a woman, but I just was reading about what was all the changes in my body. And so when I finally did begin my period, I got really excited and celebrated it. And then when I learned, all my other girlfriends were either scared or they didn't talk about it or they hated it, I realized later on in life how my experience was so unique. Mm-hmm. And I've had a very good relationship with my body and my blood and my sexuality as a woman and my womb as a woman throughout my entire life. But I've realized that in society, that's not the same. You know, women don't talk about their period. They don't talk about sex with their parents. It's all very hush hush. And yeah, like I have this program that I actually take women through where they can connect to the different archetypes and understand just the beauty of being a woman, and that we get to have this amazing thing happen to us on a monthly basis and how to work with it for our benefit. So that's the maiden archetype. And then we have the mother archetype, which is you do not need to bear children or birth children to transition into your mother archetype. Every single woman does transition into her mother. We either birth projects, birth businesses, birth children, birth communities. Like we are the birthers within our society. So it's working with mothers in that regard, in terms of birthing things into the world. But I am a birth doula. And then working with women around their transition into their crone. So it's really interesting. I also work in a dress shop and I have a lot of women come in who are menopausal and premenopausal, and what they go through and how they are relating to this rite of passage in their life. There's so much room for development, improvement, and education around the beauty around this, because a lot of women don't find the beauty in losing their ability to be fertile or the hormonal changes that happen when you're transitioning through this period. You know, women get very frustrated. There's weight gain and there's hot flushes. And yeah, it's just, there's a lot of work I think that can be done around educating what really is going on for a woman during this transition and what her life can look like and what she can impart on society and the world now that she's gone through this portal. So that's my business and that's what I do.
Oh, I just love and revel in that you're doing this work, because like, honestly, I mean, I resonate with what you said about, you know, the first time I got my period. I remember I was someone who, you know, a lot of my friends had already got their periods and I hadn't got mine yet. And, you know, I remember like being envious.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of my friends were like, treating it like it was this horrible experience, but I was like, oh, like, when's mine coming? And I remember being so thrilled when it did arrive, you know. And much like yourself, I kind of had this somewhat awareness that it was something to really celebrate. I think that there is that general kind of paradigm that for women it's some sort of, you know, an inconvenience.
Totally.
And I think that, like you said, it gets to be something that we celebrate, and it gets to be something that we work with, and it gets to be, we get to own that it is actually something really incredible and really magic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we don't actually realize just how connected we are when we are bleeding, and that the veil between realms is so thin. And when we can use that energy or that connection, like, we really do receive downloads in order for our next month and what to bring forward, so that we can keep moving our life forward in a more integral, aligned way. But firstly, we need to learn how to be aligned as women, which is doing the things and being in the world. You know, we get 2 weeks where we get to be in the world, but then we get 2 weeks where we get to be inward and with ourselves and nurture ourselves and nourish ourselves. And women as a whole collectively are not very great at meeting their own needs. We are fantastic at meeting our partners, our, you know, managers, our kids, our friends. Like, we're so good at looking after everyone else, but we're still needing to learn how to create those boundaries and put ourselves first. Because like I say to a lot of mothers that I work with, that when you put yourself first, you then get to be a better mother in your home. You get to be a better partner to your partner. You know, when you're taken care of, everyone is taken care of, because a woman creates the home within the house. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. So I'm curious, like, it sounds like you've always kind of had this deeper understanding that, you know, there is magic in the menstrual cycle. And what was it for you that kind of got you started on this journey?
Okay, so there's like usually two answers to this, right? You can either have the short answer or the long answer.
Give us the long answer. It's a long answer.
Well, basically, the long answer is my whole life has just been putting me on this path. You know, like, I tried to do the corporate thing and I did it, and I did it well. And I had anxiety every single day ever since I joined the corporate industry. And I just knew that I had to follow my gut instincts. And my mom is a big actual part of this for me, because she's always taught me to follow my gut, listen to my gut. Because my parents split when I was about 6. So every second weekend and every second holiday, I was with my dad. So mom wasn't there to make sure that we were okay. And my dad worked in a lot of pubs. So she was like, okay, I need to empower my children, not in fear, but empower, especially my daughter, because she's going to be around a lot of men, how to read, you know, energy, right? Mm-hmm. And she did this. And there were a couple of times where I had to reach out to my dad and be like, hey, this guy, you know, don't like the vibe. And he's like, cool. When, like, you know, it was such an open conversation about being connected with yourself throughout my entire childhood. And I credit my mother massively in being my teacher in that. And I think also I credit my mother as well as, and my stepfather, because no topic was off the table when I was a kid. We were allowed to talk about everything, sex, our body, like nothing was squirmish. That was so mature. So we got to understand stuff in a really safe environment. So then when it came to being, you know, a teenager and an adult, like I never couldn't talk about stuff. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Did I answer your question? Yeah, totally, totally. I want to say I envy that. And also, you know, I feel like my journey has been exactly what it's needed to be. But, you know, I was brought up in a family where we didn't really talk about those things. You know, I mean, my mum was very, very, very open. We would have really good chats, but it just, I don't know, it's just a topic that we never really touched on. Like we never really touched on how the female body works or, you know, any of the things that I was navigating. And so, yeah, to have that so kind of at the forefront is really, it's really cool. I think that's yeah beautiful.
Yeah. It was really cool. And I thank my mom as an adult now. I'm like, thank you so much, because I had no shame around my body or around sexuality. But I think also because mom grew up in a very Catholic, you know, household and Catholic schools. And there were things that obviously the Catholic religion imposes on women. And she's like, don't agree with that. So like, in a sense, my mom is very traditional and very conservative, but she obviously has an element of rebel within her. And it's just like, no, I'm not allowing my daughter to like fall into that conformity. So
yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
So you and I have had chats in the past, and this is what I'm really like excited to touch on around, you know, understanding how as someone who is part of the combat sports world and is essentially an athlete, how you work with your menstrual cycle through, you know, through your sporting pursuits and that.
Yeah.
You know, I work with a lot of athletes, and what I witness for women is, and I know this was 100% me many years ago, there's kind of that pressure as women due to a mixture of, I think, being in male-dominated sports and also just not knowing what we don't know. There's this pressure as women to almost like show up like the men, to show up consistently, to perform at the same intensity every day, you know, and to kind of to grind it out, you know, it's that grind and hustle kind of mentality. So yes, you and I have had some chats about that, and I'm not quite sure where to start. Can you tell me about how, for you, how do you navigate, you know, your cycle whilst being involved in a combat sport?
Yeah, for sure. So basically, like, you know, we've met training at Southside, and this year has probably been my most inconsistent year of training and being on the mats. So usually I am 5 days a week on the mats. And so I know I can train and do train at a high intensity for 3 weeks of a month. And so I give myself 1 week off.
Yes.
And that is because, and I feel it when I'm on the mats. When I'm ovulating, I am on fire.
Yes.
I am strong, you know, and even like, you know, I'm getting moves. I'm like, you know, I'm just getting everything and I'm submitting and I feel good. I feel like on, like I feel peak, right?
Yes.
When I'm about to bleed, I could possibly cry.
Yeah, totally.
You know? Like if I have a tough roll, I'm like, oh my God, don't do that to me.
Yes.
So like, you know, and that's when I think also if I'm trying to push, I'm going to probably injure myself. You know, I've even noticed like my hands, like sometimes I'll push my hands like I'm going to like push someone off me and my hands don't even like work properly. And I'm like, oh my God, like my brain isn't like firing.
Yes.
So it's okay to rest. Like it's okay to have time off. But unfortunately, yes, women, especially at peak performance, we grow up in a patriarchal society. The whole world is built for the masculine or go energy, the consistent energy. It's not built and not, yeah, I'm not just saying in the sporting realm, but in every single realm, it's not built for flow and ebbs and troughs, you know, rest periods.
Yeah.
So we have, as women, wanted to get into the workforce and wanted to be seen like we are as capable as men. And we unfortunately have thought that we need to become men in order to do that.
Yeah.
this is changing and it's so exciting that it is changing, that women are taking their power back and being like, hang on a minute, I can be both things. I can be super feminine and I can be really aggressive on the mat and do a martial art. I can rest and I can be successful. I can, you know, do all the things. I can speak up for myself and have my needs met as well as everyone else in my life or my family or my partner. Like, this is changing and it's really exciting because the world as a whole, I mean, I could get really spiritual at this point, but like Mother Nature is feminine. You know, she ebbs and flows. She has seasons. So do we as humans. Everything that is live and breathing and living and is an organism on this earth has season, goes through cycles. And so do we as humans. But unfortunately, we have got it a little bit wrong. And we think that we're just this machine that can keep on plowing out, you know, at a consistency. And even men do go through cycles. Their cycles are not as as quick as ours. Like ours are monthly, but men do go through cycles too. And I've spoken to men and they have said, yeah, I can really feel that I get really emotional, you know, every 8 weeks or something like that. So, and these are men who are highly connected to themselves as well. So, you know, everything goes in cycles. It's a death and rebirth all the time. We just personally get it every single month. And I remember when I used to train too, I did this fitness comp like about 10 years ago and my trainer would put me on a 4-week program. So, you know, would, I don't know what the terminology is anymore, like deload after.
Because
then the next program you actually get stronger. And that's what we're looking to do is create strength within me. So it's okay to have time off.
It's
also you can be sustainable. Like if you just go full throttle all the time, you know, you burn out. And women at high performance, they lose their period. And if you're losing your period, that is your body telling you that you are under immense stress and that you need to relax and you need to take time out.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing. You know, like I've come from predominantly fitness modeling. And I think of how when I used to prep for comps, you know, like I was training hard, like day in, day out, you know, week in, week out, month in, month out kind of thing. And when I, you know, over the last 12 months or so in particular, I've really started to train based on where I'm at in my cycle. And I look, you know, now having this kind of comparison point, I'm like, how the hell did I used to push through on the days when I was on my bleed? Like I just cannot comprehend it anymore because you know, like I really, and like I think a lot of it was conditioning, you know, that it was just basically, dare I say it, like in my mind it was like, don't be a pussy, just push through, you know. Whereas now, like you said, you know, the days when I'm on my bleed, like I can feel it on the mats that I'm sensitive and, you know, it's a hit or, you know, an accidental knock or a little bit too much pressure, you know, on the mats, usually I'd be fine with it. But on the days that I'm on my bleed, it's like it hurts. It's like I'm just extra sensitive. Like you said, I often find, particularly those first couple of days of my bleed, if I choose to still train, most of the time I'm leaving those mats in tears, you know. And it's really, for me, you know, these last 12 months been a practice of actually really consciously rewriting that paradigm and choosing to take that week off, knowing that that's actually productive and it's making me a better athlete. It's not actually diminishing or slowing down my progress.
Like, and you know, like when you have time off and you have some rest, you come back. Because jiu-jitsu, to me, I look at jiu-jitsu as like a language, right, that we're learning with our body. And so you have to kind of allow yourself to immerse yourself and become embodied in that language. And when I have time away from the mats and give myself space, when I come back, I'm like, oh, I get that now, or I get that now. Like, things just fall into place instead of just always being there and just being bombarded with information all the time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I love that you put it that way, that jiu-jitsu is like a language. That's very true.
100%.
Yeah.
Because you see the kids pick it up so easily because they're like little sponges.
Yes.
Whereas as an adult, it's a little bit harder to learn the language because we're so already in our flow of how our body moves. So trying to get it to move in a different way, if you've never had like that kind of experience, it's like, oh, this is interesting. This is different. Mm. So,
Yeah, I love that. So for the sake of the listeners, and, you know, particularly if someone's not familiar with kind of the different phases of the menstrual cycle, would you be able to fill us in on, like, you know, when we're in our summer and when we're in our winter and so on?
Yes. Okay. So the way that I talk about it is through archetypes.
Mm.
So the reason why I actually stumbled across all of this stuff is because some girl on the internet was talking about how she was having painless periods, and I was like, F you, I want that. And for as long as I could remember, as soon as I started to bleed, I'd take painkillers and aphrodisiacs and try and just suppress everything.
Yes. Yeah.
So I decided, okay, well, I'm going to stop taking painkillers and I'm going to work with my pain and learn to transmute it and really get in touch with my womb. Yeah. So when you bleed, that is, you're sitting in your crone archetype. So your crone archetype or your wise woman archetype. If you think about Disney fairy tales or fables and things like that, the crone or the wise woman is usually depicted as like the witch in the woods who's isolated, who's probably a little bit ugly. You know, she's a little bit like rejected from society. And that's not the case. Like when you sit in your crone, you are full of your knowledge, your wisdom. And it's a really good time. And I used to actually facilitate workshops during this time because it's me sharing my wisdom with people. It's me being the guide, right? But with the crone, you can feel tired. You can feel like less like you want to be around people. You can feel sleepy and that fatigued and exhausted and that you just really want to hibernate and just spend some time with yourself. So if you think about your hormones as a bell curve, and up the top of the bell curve is when you ovulate, when your hormones drop all the way down, that's when you start to bleed. And that's when you step into your crone. So your hormones aren't high. And this is why it's really detrimental for women to try and push and try and do things when their hormones are not firing. Like you don't actually have the energy. So you're really just riding off adrenaline or stress, cortisol, or some terrible conditioning to say that you have to just keep on going. Okay. So, and during your crone stage, you can actually transfer through five different chambers. And so I have in the past spent a lot of time on my own during my bleed and actually meditated for like a couple of times a day. And I've really noticed a difference within myself. I really notice insights that come and, you know, I'll journal, I'll really just be with myself and kind of shut out the outside world. I know that that is, you know, I was very blessed to be able to do that. And anyone who's, you know, got kids or running a business, or, I mean, my business was all situated around this, so it really actually benefited me doing this. But, you know, when you have life to live as well, it's more so being organized. And if you're working a 9-to-5 job, then spend that 5 till the time you go to bed, having a bath and nurturing yourself and being really quiet, lighting a candle and maybe just reading, you know, meditating, just being with you and nurturing yourself. And you'll start to really find out what you actually need in terms of, and what will make you feel more at ease during this time.
So following the recent requests for nervous system-based dating advice, I have taken it upon myself to bring you Wildfire. Now, Wildfire is a free Telegram channel designed to support you in creating an inspired, embodied, steamy love life. This is for the woman who perhaps, you know, has been out of the game for a while, is new to dating and is feeling a little bit nervous, maybe a little bit anxious, a little bit overwhelmed, or
for the woman who, you know, is just wanting to experience something deeper in their love life. So this channel will be full of free content on all things attachment style, emotional regulation, nervous system regulation, healing from past breakups and challenges, masculine and feminine dynamics, and I'll even be littering in some of the inside scoop in my own dating world that I never share publicly. Now, I'll be doing this through the lens of really helping you to have real world examples of just how good it gets to be. So if this is something that you're interested in, you can find the link to join Wildfire in the show notes, and I look forward to seeing you in there.
So basically, during that time is when I would feel period pain. I know some women have period pain in their wild woman phase, so right before they bleed. So I started to learn how to transmute the energy and work with the energy, breathe into the energy. And over a course of probably 2 or 3 years, I actually processed the emotion before I started to bleed. So then my periods were not painful. So I got my period this morning and I have not had any period pain. I also now am a Reiki practitioner. So whenever I do feel pain, I do Reiki on my womb and that just moves it really easily. So that's the crone, which is your bleed week. And then if you honor yourself during that week, towards the end of your bleed, you will actually start to feel your energy pick up because your hormones are starting to pick up and you'll start to feel yourself wanting to be out in the world again. And so that's where you'll start to feel like, you know, you've got a bit more energy. You can go back to the gym. You want to be out being social and you want to start to get things done. And so you'll move into your maiden archetype. So your maiden archetype is kind of like the Fool in the tarot card. It's the new beginnings, bright lights, big cities, like, you know, I'm going to go on my adventure now into my next month. And it's more assertive and more masculine of the feminine archetypes than the crone because it's doing, it wants to kind of get going, right? So during that phase, you might feel like you want to put on more active wear because you want to run all your errands that you haven't done in the week beforehand. You know, you just feel like, okay, I want to get shit done, right?
Yeah.
And then as your hormones go to its peak, you'll move into your mother archetype. And your mother archetype is actually more of the masculine of the feminine archetypes. So the mother is also, it's very much about nurturing and bringing people together, nourishment. So this is where actually, if you, not even if you run your own business, but if you just say you're at work and you have meetings throughout the month, put all your meetings in your ovulation, in your mother phase, because you will bang them out. You'll be articulate as hell. You'll just feel really on fire. So this is when we train. I'm loving it. And I go harder, you know, and I can take harder knocks when I'm in my mother, my ovulation phase. You'll also notice, and I mean, this is like deviating from sports, but when you're out and about socially, men will respond to you a lot more. You'll notice when you're like, I'm on fire. Yes, I've got it. And even when, if you go shopping, things will just feel more sexy on you. You'll feel yourself more in the ovulation phase than if you go shopping or if you go on a first date when you're just about to get your bleed. Like, play around with this because it's all energy and it's all within us. And these are, archetypes are really just energy archetypes. If you've never heard of what an archetype is, it comes from Dr. Carl Jung, which is one of the founding fathers of psychology. And on his deathbed, he actually wished that he didn't call archetypes archetypes. He wished he called them spirit because they are just pieces, fragmentations of our soul, of our spirit. And we have hundreds of archetypes, but there are a number of solid archetypes that fit into the feminine umbrella, as there are a number of archetypes that fit into the masculine umbrella. Yeah, and this plays out through all areas of our life. Like once you start to learn about archetypes, you see them in movies, you see people playing out archetypes at work or, you know, in friendship groups. you know, I'm learning astrology, like I said before, and every single star sign has an archetype that they play into. And now I'm like looking at people and I'm like, yeah, I get it. Yeah. You're like the warrior, or you're like a bull. I get it. Yeah. So yeah, that's the mother archetype. And then your hormones will start to dip and you'll move into your wild woman, which is probably the most feared archetype of the feminine, because wild, crazy, untamable in society has never really been tagged with positive connotations. And if you think about the wild woman in fables and Disney, it's like she was, you know, again, cast out from society, right? But the wild woman in her absolute purest form is only concerned with your truth. So you may find yourself spitting truth at your partner or at your friends, or just like, you know, just being really like truthful with how you feel in that moment, because our wild woman within us just wants us to be truthful, wants us to live our path, our purpose, wants us to be expressing our truth in every way, shape, and form. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I guess it is feared because women have been brought up to be good girls or mothers. We're not brought up to be whatever the hell we want to be. We've only been brought up to fit into those two archetype box, which is the mother or the maiden or the good girl, right? So the wild woman dances to the beat of her own drum.
Beautiful.
She's deeply connected to the earth, to Mother Earth. She's deeply connected to the elements. So your wild woman, yeah, you can start to have those menstrual or premenstrual symptoms, but that is literally your truth bubbling up within your womb, wanting you to look at it. So I really encourage anyone who does feel these kind of like frustrations or discomforts to really sit with it, because it's actually your body communicating with you. So our periods are there for us. They're not there to hinder us in life, but we need to reprogram our mind in terms of how we're actually going to relate to our body and our womb. Because what's really interesting is that, you know, we demonize our blood and our womb for pretty much what, 25, 35, you know, nowadays, like women are falling pregnant at their 40s for 40 years. Mm-hmm. And then we want to turn it on and be fertile, and we want our body to listen to us and like fall pregnant, and our bodies hated me for my whole life. And now you want to be my friend. Like, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
This is why a lot of women as well have menstrual issues, have polycystic ovaries, have issues falling pregnant, is because from a spiritual and energetic standpoint, we have all our ideas for our life that come through our crown chakra on our head, and they'll travel down through each of our chakras. So through our third eye, into our throat, into heart to make sure that it's centered. And then it'll go into our solar plexus to make sure that, you know, we have the willpower and the self-worth to actually bring this thing to light and fruition and birth it into the world. But then it travels into our sacral, which is our womb, and that's where a lot of our ideas get aborted. So we don't only just abort children from our womb, we abort our ideas, our dreams, our desires, our aspirations. And where does that energy go? It goes into our reproductive organs. And this is why we have so many issues falling pregnant.
Oh, I love the way you just summed that up. I work with so many women who hold a lot of sexual shame. And of course it makes sense. You know, all we have to do is really look at society and a lot of the narratives around women and around women's sexuality, you know, and there's this tenseness, there's this tension, you know, around sexuality, around that entire space.
Yeah.
And, you know, sexuality is creative energy. It's that birthing energy. So as you said that, I was like, oh my God. And I had beautiful women that I've connected with in the past or presently, you know, pop into mind, and it's like, oh, that makes sense as to why, you know, they struggle in what they're trying to create in their life. And then on the other side of the coin, they've also, you know, they're carrying this tension around their sexuality. You know, that block is kind of present in multiple areas of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely, babe. Absolutely. You know, I could talk about this forever, but women, our sexuality has been controlled.
Yes.
You know, and there's a reason for that.
Yes.
So there is so much power in tapping into, and like you said, sexual energy is creative energy, it's primal energy.
Yeah.
You know, and tapping into that. I mean, that's why also I remember when I used to watch the World Cup in soccer, and I watched Brazil like years and years and years ago, and there was one of these players there that apparently he didn't have sex for like 2 weeks before his games, because he retained his energy within him, so then he was more powerful, so then he could, you know, use that energy during his game instead of being depleted. Men are depleted. Majority of men are walking around energetically depleted, because it takes them about 17 days to re-replete after they ejaculate. So you know, if they're ejaculating a lot, they're pretty depleted.
Just, you know, listening to you speak about in particular the wild woman, and when we kind of, you know, those final couple of days before we go into our bleed, you know, I used to struggle with painful periods, and, you know, and I would get a lot of PMS. Like I would really, like, particularly the day before my bleed, I can't really explain it, but it was almost this feeling of like, you know, not wanting to be on my own, but if anyone was near me, they'd piss me off. And it was like, you know, kind of this like go away, but also come back kind of. And, you know, so I really used to struggle with PMS. Like it was a really confusing, conflicting time for me. Mm. And it wasn't until, and I can't for the life of me remember who said this to me, but, you know, someone said that PMS and then those sensitivities that we have in the first couple of days of our bleed are invitations to look at the incomplete kind of emotions that we've navigated throughout the month.
Yes.
And ever since hearing that, I kind of, you know, I think your words were that, you know, it's our truth bubbling up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, ever since that person said that to me, I wish I could recall who it was. You know, that's something that I really sit with. Like when I find myself getting pissed off about something in those final days before my bleed, or when I'm really sensitive about something at the very beginning of my bleed, I once upon a time used to really write it off as like, oh, I'm just PMSing. Oh, it's just that time of the month. Or, you know, oh, I'm just sensitive, or, you know, whatever. Now I really take the time to sit and go, what am I trying to communicate with myself here? What am I sweeping under the rug unintentionally? What have I been stepping over? What do I need to actually really sit with and acknowledge and draw to completion? Mm-hmm. And since doing that, since really spending that time with myself and seeing it as an invitation and an opportunity rather than, again, this, you know, annoying thing that just happens to me with no kind of logic or sense to it, you know, starting to work with it, all of a sudden, like I very, very rarely get painful periods anymore.
Beautiful.
And as you said, it's like clearing out that energy. And in a rare times that I do get painful periods, it's like, okay, I hear you, I'm listening. Like you said, your words were, you know, I work with the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think you've said it perfectly, because I mentioned before, it's we go through a death and rebirth. So like every full moon ceremony where we do a letting go ritual, your wild woman is your letting go ritual. Because if we don't create space during the month to feel the emotions that have come up, like whether you're pissed off at someone at work, but you can't get angry and punch, you know, like a punching bag at work. So we store that in our body. And if we don't give it space to then be felt and be released, it continues to be stored there, and then it'll just sit in our womb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've been meaning to tell you, coming back to, you know, Triple Goddess, which is your branding. I swear, ever since I met you, Triple Goddess like stalks me. Like I see it everywhere. Like even the other day, we've got my two housemates and I have quite a extensive tarot card and angel card library. And you and I had just finished training together, I think it was Monday, and I come home and I look, and like right in the corner of our little shelf full of cards, there's like a Triple Goddess card deck. And I was like, oh, Lauren.
Yeah. That's so cute. I love it.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, for anyone that's looking to get in contact with you or find out, you know, connect with you or find out more about your work, where can they find you?
So I'm on social media. That's probably the best place, on Instagram. My handle is triple and then 3 underscores and then goddess. And my name is Lauren and I come up as a feminine embodiment guide.
Beautiful. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
Oh, not really. I could talk forever about this. Yeah. But no, all good. Thank you so much for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for bringing your wisdom. And as I said, I have a deep respect for the work that you do. And I think it's so important to bridge these worlds, because I witness so many women, and I was one of those women who, you know, it's tough trying to navigate a male-dominated world, a male-dominated sport. And I think it takes tremendous courage to show up as a really feminine woman in a world that kind of tries to squeeze that out of us. So I acknowledge you for that.
Thank you. My first head coach, when he gave me my blue belt, he said that he used to watch me rock up to training in my pretty dresses and my, you know, hair done and everything from work. And he was like, I give her 2 months. And then he goes, and then you just kept showing up and you got your first stripe and your second stripe, and then you did a comp, and he goes, and now I'm giving you your blue belt. And all I have to say to everyone is, don't judge a book by its cover. And I love that, because we can be all the things. We don't have to just fall into one silo archetype or you know, way of showing up in the world. We can play into every single part of being a woman, and that's what I love to do.
Yeah. I think there's really something to be said about a very feminine woman who has developed a strong masculine king energy. And I think, you know, in many ways there's, you know, that's kind of what us women are doing on the mats, you know, building on that warrior energy, building on that king energy. Yeah. Totally. So I see that in you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
My absolute pleasure. Well, thank you so much for joining me, and I'll see you on the mats soon.
Bye, my love.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Live Free Experience podcast. Now, I'm a real person back here, so every mention, every share, every bit of feedback is deeply valued, and I love nothing more than hearing what golden nuggets are landing for you. So if something did land for you, or there's someone in your world who needs to hear this, please share it with them and share it to your social media. Tag me in it so that I'm aware of it and I can share it to my story. As I said, every little bit counts, every little bit helps get this message out there. And I want to close off today's conversation. Ladies, this one's for you. I have a free ebook and audio training called Fierce and Free. And this is for the woman who is looking to really step things up a level in her world, looking to overcome people-pleasing tendencies, build greater boundaries, and just be more discerning in where their energy is going. So you can get access to that one free at www.fiercefreewoman.com. And I will speak to you all soon.